What's going on, y'all? This is Jerome Smith, also known as JS, aka The Best, and welcome back to my favorite day of the week, Sync Music Mondays. And today's episode is a little bit different. You know, we talk about music when it comes to financial literacy, but today's guest is a young legend. If y'all know anything about Earn Your Leisure, the real estate market, this man is killing it right now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the investor, the mortgage banker. You already know I could go on and on, but we don't have that type of time. Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew Garland, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, fellas. I appreciate the love, man. I got to have you doing all my intros moving forward, baby. We gotta work out an agreement or something, son. Maybe I got to take you on a road with me. Word, you got me hyped. <All
right. laughs> I gotta show love. That's it, man. I got to show you that type of love. Give you your roses while you still here, while you can smell them. That's it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that, man. For real.
Nah, we appreciate you. And last but not least, I cannot forget, because I did not introduce my co-host, my man, my brother, K Sparks, also known as Kyle Hunter. What's good, man?
Yo, what's good, bro? What's the word, man? We here, man. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal episode. Got my brother, man. This is it right here, man. Like, yo, the GOAT, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's doing phenomenal things. So, you know, we always talk about financial literacy for musicians to educate y'all. So, I mean, what better way, you know what I'm saying, than to have the GOAT right here? You know what I'm saying? Like, just to educate. So, this is going to be a fire episode, man. But you know what time it is, Jay?
It is the word of the day. So, what is today's word of the day?
First, you got to get your mind right. So, today's word of the day is persistence wears down resistance. I love that because at the end of the day, no matter what happens, no matter what obstacles, what blockages you encounter in life, you got to keep it pushing, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I love it because at the end of the day, I don't view anything as a loss. It's just an experience to learn and kind of pivot to do better. So, you know, that's how to move. Definitely persistence wears down resistance. And that is the word of the day.
I love that. Dropping them gems on them.
It's the jewelry store. That's what we got. It's the gems, man.
I like that. Word of the day.
That's it. That's it, man. So you know, to get started, I mean, this is family, right? It's my brother. So I guess, man, you know, because, you know, a lot of people, they're really interested in just, you know, financial literacy, improving themselves, man. So, you know, I guess in the beginnings for you, man, like, how did you get started, bro?
Oh, man. So I got started by accident, actually. My best friend, my man Phil, who's a pastor right now, you know, I was working at TSA, and he was like, yo, you should get into the mortgage business. Like, I just got laid off or whatever. And he was like, yo, you need to get into the mortgage business. I didn't even know what a mortgage was, to be honest with you. I was like, what the fuck is a mortgage? You know what I'm saying? He's like, you know, when people buy a house, they need a loan. I said, oh. He was like, you should be a loan officer. So, all right. So I looked in the paper. This is before, like, you can go on, like, Instagram. Instagram wasn't even around. Facebook wasn't around. None of that stuff was around. So, you know, you had to look in the newspaper to get jobs. I know that sounds kind of foreign to people, right? But I looked in the Daily News, and I saw there were so many job openings for loan officers. And I was always doing customer service and doing stuff like that working in my career at that point. So I was like, all right, you know what? I never really paid attention to those type of jobs. And it was right below the customer service or the telemarketing jobs. It was all in the same section. But I always overlooked it because I thought you needed a degree. So long story short, I wound up calling three companies, went on interviews, got hired by all three. And I kind of chose what I thought was the best deal at that point in time. I didn't even know what a good deal was for a loan officer. I just thought, this sounds good. And I just started doing loans from there. And, you know, never look back, so to speak. So I've been doing this since 2003 and just been in the game ever since.
Fire.
Yeah.
Fire, man.
Yeah, that was crazy, though. Now, when I think about that shit, I'm like, damn, that was crazy. It was no, like, You literally had to go on a newspaper looking for your job. Like, it was crazy. It's funny how time has changed in the past 19 years. A lot. The world has changed in that time. But yeah, that's kind of how I got in the business, and just been grinding ever since. You know what I'm saying? Just out here, just trying to do my part in the world.
Fire. That's fire, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, and to see the transition, even like with technology, you know, like from that, like to now today, it's like people have so much opportunity at their fingertips.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I guess just for the listeners out there, like in terms of just, you know, how to utilize technology, can you kind of talk about like how you were able to leverage that to kind of do your thing? Because I mean, y'all killing it, man. Like, I mean, there's no competition, seriously. You know what I'm saying? So, but I think being able to have that business mindset, how to leverage technology. So how did that play a part in how you were able to get the word out about, you know, the work that you do?
So technology is, all right. So I'll rewind back to like 2016, 2017. For me, I've realized that being in my business, honestly, I was bored, right? When you do the same thing over and over again, your routine just becomes like blah, right? You're not hyped to go to your job. You're not hyped to work. It gets boring, right? So, and as I'm getting older, like I'm 44 years old. So as I was getting older and older, you know, I guess when we start approaching 40, we start like, damn, it's like midlife crisis, right? So for me, I kept on saying to myself, all right, how do I reach the younger generation? How do I reach the 20-year-old, the 25-year-old? Because all my friends, we're all in the same age group, right? So if I'm going to continue to grow my business and build something that can sustain for the next 20, 30 years, I got to reach the people that are younger than me while I'm still relatively young. So I discovered Gary Vee. I used to always see the white boy on my feed. Like, who is this white boy, right? Like, who is this guy? And so one day, I saw him on my IG crazy. So it was like August 2016 or 17. I can't really remember, but I said, no, let me go to his YouTube channel. Because he's saying, go to his YouTube, watch the full video, right? So I go watch the video. And I just was stuck. Like, I literally was watching Gary Vee for the whole month of August. Like, that shit was Law and Order. Like, I'm watching that joint like it's a series, right? So I'm watching this for hours, like literally for hours. And I'm like, yo, this dude is on to something. And from there, I went on Amazon. I even still have this. And Tukes, we found the first light that I purchased, my first microphone that connected into my iPhone. Like, I didn't buy a camera. I just was looking for stuff that I could use my iPhone with to record doing videos. And I used to study how to edit videos on my phone. So that was kind of like my introduction into like social media. And it used to take me hours to make a video. Like a 60-second video would take me 5 hours, like literally. And sometimes I wouldn't even post it because I was just self-conscious.
How was that? Right. Was you overthinking the content?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Overthinking, self-conscious. Like, you're looking at yourself like, damn, I don't like the way my five chins look. Like, I didn't got a haircut. Like, all types of things, right? I'm just keeping it in the buck with y'all. Y'all ask me a question, I'm going to keep it real, right? So it was all types of things that I used to say to myself, and I used to talk myself out of posting or going hard. But once I just started posting, I realized, first of all, what I realized is, number one, you can't be a salesman. And a lot of my content in the beginning was me being a salesperson, right? Oh, I can close you fast. I got the lowest rates. I got the best service. Well, that should be a given. Why are you talking about it, right? Like, but I didn't realize that at first. So my content wouldn't never do anything. No one would like it. No one would comment. It was trash, basically, right? So it discouraged me. Like, anybody else, I'm like, oh, this stuff don't work. Why am I wasting time? So I stopped doing it. And then like 6 months later, I picked it back up again. And then that's when I met Tukes. I was introduced to Tukes. And we started filming videos and stuff like that. And I still wouldn't post the stuff, right? Because, again, being self-conscious and everything like that. But it was one video. I did a home buying seminar. And I had Tukes record it. And he did like a highlight trailer of just showing like the seminar. And that video took off. And people was like, oh, when's the next seminar? When's this? When's that? So I'm like, wait a minute. That's what y'all want to see? So then I did a seminar literally 10 days later. And I said, Tooks, this time record me talking and we're going to start taking those clips of me speaking and educating and we're going to start putting that stuff out there and let's see what happens. So we started doing that. And then those were the clips that really started bringing people to my page because now I'm educating them. I wasn't trying to sell them. So I realized for my industry and what I do and what I was trying to achieve, if I use technology to educate versus sell, then people would come to me and I started talking to the people who wasn't following me already, right? So that taught me I had to tailor my communication to my audience specifically. So, and not talk to the people who are already there, because at that time it was like family, friends, coworkers, you know what I mean? It wasn't people who were really looking to get loans. It was realtors I knew, but it wasn't like what it is today. So I just started putting out educational pieces, not selling people or nothing, and using that to bring people to my page. And it worked, you know what I'm saying? Like, it really worked. But I still, again, I'm in my way. I didn't really understand what I was doing at that moment. But I realized that we had something good. So we just continued just to put out the content. And it helped me because I built up a little bit of a library over a couple months of just educational videos. So when I linked up with DJ Envy, he was able to go to my page and see me speaking and talking and educating. And that's what prompted him to tell me, like, hey, I want you to speak at my seminars. You know, when I reached out to him, I was just trying to be a sponsor and just have a table and just meet the people that was going to be there. But once he went back and saw my videos, he's like, all right, you from the hood, you talking, you're educating the people, you talk the language, you dress like them, like, yo, you need to be on stage. And thank God I wasn't too self-conscious. I started breaking out of it a little bit. This was like 2018. And I started breaking out of it a little bit in 18. But thank God I did that, because if I was still in my own way, he wouldn't have had nothing to go back to reference to see if I would have been a good fit to be a presenter versus just being someone who sponsors. So technology changed my life. In all honesty, not just to answer your question, I know I kind of rambled.
That's gems, bro.
But
that's
I had to kind of give like a little bit of a backstory. Like, it changed my life. Like, social media literally changed my financial future. It changed, and I was always successful. Like, I've always made money, you know what I'm saying? But this is just different now, and it's only because of the technology. It's only because of these social media apps. It's because we're able to put our messaging out there at scale. And like, even look what you guys are doing, right? We're able to, whatever you want to speak about, if you have any type of intellectual property, you can monetize it by using these free apps. They're free. Why wouldn't you use it to put your brand out there, to put your IP out there, to, I mean, shit, you could put out books, right?
Books.
You got anything.
Put that
no, you know what I'm saying? Shameless plug. But, you know, intellectual property is one of the most valuable things that we all have as human beings. Right. And if we're not using it to our IP to the best of our ability and using these free apps and these softwares and things like that to be able to spread it out there, you're doing yourself a tremendous disservice and you're losing out on a lot of money.
Facts. You know, that's a lot of gems you drop, man. I love that because, I feel like people miss out because they don't leverage social media like they should. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, being able to harness that and use it as a tool that can further you. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, it's free, man. Why not? Why not leverage that to your ability and to your advantage to further your career, whatever you're trying to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, look, I mean, we can either use social media for the good, the bad, or the ugly, right? So it's easy to get caught up in the foolishness on social media, whether you like the ratchet shit, whether you like strippers, whether you like sneakers, cars, you know, whatever it is, like the world is in your, like this is a computer in your hand and you can access anything you want to access to. So for me, social media is very important. And like, even now I'm starting to like, cause I've been on social media for 10 years, but I never used it for how I'm using it now. So I follow so much foolishness. So I can tell you this firsthand, right? Like the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? And now it still pops up on my feed. I'm like, yo, I don't even want to see these things no more, because then you get caught up in that matrix and that web. And now it takes you off your game. So I just, you know, I try to practice what I preach also at the same time. So I'm trying to clean my own following list up. So that way I'm only looking at things that's going to give me positivity. That's only going to, you know, enhance my mindset or teach me. Right. And so when I put out my own content, I look at it as, all right, I have to be that person that people want to learn from. I can't put out foolishness. I can't argue with the Twitter fingers in the comments no more. Yeah. Like, I can't, like, do certain things, yeah. Right? Like, I gotta present myself in a certain light, so that way when the new people come and they look at my page, they're not seeing foolishness. Mm-hmm. They're seeing things that can teach them, that can motivate them, and give them inspiration. So that's what I try to, like, keep my page when I'm posting. I try to keep that kind of format of what I'm doing.
I love that. Now, you've accomplished a whole lot, and I'm sure you got bigger goals that you want to accomplish, you know, moving forward. But if you had a chance to talk to your younger self, like, let's just say 16, 18-year-old you, like, what advice would you give, you know, young Matthew?
Well, I tell you this, because I do talk to my younger self every day. I have a son that's 14, going to be 15 years old, and he is me. You know, shout out to Chubbs. And so what I tell this little guy is, look, bro, hustle, man. What are you doing? Like, you don't want to go to college. You want to be an entrepreneur. So, all right, what do you want to do? And whatever it is that you want to do, stay focused on it. Don't get distracted by the foolishness that's on your phone. Because, again, like we just said, there's a good, the bad, and the ugly. So what I tell my younger self, which is my son, I tell him, stay focused, killer books, because the school is easy, right? When we were teenagers, we made school so difficult for no reason. And high school is a breeze when you really think about it. So I tell him, kill his books, which he does a great job at. He's a you know, BA student. I tell him to work hard, you know, protect his family at all costs, protect himself at all costs, and just stay focused. You know what I'm saying? Because if you put your head down from 18 to 28 years old, you could be a multimillionaire, especially in today's world. You know, by the time you're 30 years old, and maybe sooner, right? But just stay focused. So the best advice that I give him is just, you know, get in the room. That's another thing I tell him. Like, I do a lot of speaking engagements and stuff like that. So I always tell him, yo, come, be there. And, you know, it's a struggle. You know, you know how Chris is. Like, it's a struggle, right? Like, but now certain things he goes to, like, oh, it opens his mind up. He's like, all right, cool. Like, you know what? Damn, that's a young entrepreneur. They 17. They got this business. They making this money. So now it's starting to click to him in certain things, where now I'm starting to see his maturity and his mindset starting to shift towards, like, all right, I can do this. You know what I mean? So that's what I tell my younger self right now, is get inside the room, keep your mind right, get your money right. Don't chase these girls, because these girls will get you sidetracked. Even as an adult, these girls will get you sidetracked. You know what I'm saying? So you always got to make sure, like you always staying focused. Have fun, be a kid, but also understand that you're a black man and the world don't owe you nothing, and they're not going to give you anything. So you got to make sure that you're grinding at the highest level possible in order for you to be successful and reach the goals that you have for yourself.
Facts. That's all gems, man. That's
super gems.
Super gems, man. So look, Queens Get the Money, right?
QGTM.
QGTM,
Big,
right?
Queens.
Know the Vibes, Queens Energy.
Yes.
So, yo, you know, we love hip hop, we love rap.
Mm-hmm.
Top five dead alive. Let's go.
Top five dead alive. Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas, Jadakiss.
That last slot, man.
I gotta put Champagne Poppy up there.
Okay.
And I gotta put Champagne Poppy in the top five, even though he's kind of, you know, it's about him writing his own lyrics and everything like that. But you can't deny what this man has done He changed the game.
Of course.
So I got to put him in my top five. I would have put Kanye, but Kanye gone a little crazy lately.
Wow.
He's definitely in the top 10. When he's on his he's definitely top 10. Mm-hmm. But I can't have a top five without saying Drake, because he's transitioned this game. I mean, to be able to sing and rap, and the amount of hits that this man puts out, mm-hmm. like...
It's phenomenal.
It's phenomenal. And Kiss, I can't leave Kiss out lyrically. Like, I'm a lyricist. Like, I like to listen to lyrics. I like bars. You know what I'm saying? So Kiss is just like, that dude is just, since the Warlock days, he's been like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like, and I know a lot of people don't even know what the hell I said just there, but do your homework. But like, Kiss is just like unbelievable. And then obviously Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas, like, you know, I got to put Big up there. I think his life was just cut too short. But if you listen to his music, even today, like big bars. I mean, we talking, this shit was 94, 95.
It's Thomas.
Like, think about, he was super, like, if you really listen to what this man was talking about in 94, 95, it's like, yo, this dude was incredible.
Yeah, it's Thomas.
Like, incredible. And then Jay and Nas, I mean, there's no, the longevity of these two gentlemen have been just outstanding. Like, Jay's verse on That God Did was just like
crazy.
Yeah. It was just teaching. Like, Jay's just different. Like,
yeah.
Jay's just different. And Nas, you know, King's Disease. Like, I had to put Kyle on King's Disease. I'm like, yo, bro, you ain't listening to King's Disease? I'm like, yo, pop that joint on. Siri, play, Alexa, play King's Disease. Right? And we just rocked that joint. You know, it's timeless music, you know, like you said. So that's my top five dead or alive. What's your top five?
Wow. My top five dead or alive. All right, that's a great question, man. All right, so I got to go with Nas, Queens All Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I love Jay because I love the progression of his music. You know, when Jay first dropped, like, Reasonable Doubt, he was always a hustler. But now you can see the transition from the hustler
to the mogul.
To now the mogul.
Yeah.
You know, that encompasses everything. So whether that's business, a father, like, all these things, you know, I love it. So that's fire, man. Of course, Jay the Kiss. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, we from Queens, bro, so our list is going to be similar. We like bars, man.
Yeah. You need bars. Is, you need bars.
You know what I'm saying? Let me see. Who else do I really, really like, man? I would have to say, yo, so this cat... He ain't mainstream at all, man. Not at all. But he's fire. He slept on as Fonte from Little Brother, man.
I never heard of this,
yo,
dude.
Yo, I'm going to put you on to him, man. Yo, he's fire, man.
Yeah.
Fonte is fire. He's fire. He slept on, man. You know what I'm saying? But he's fire. And for the fifth slot, man, that's a heavy one. Right?
So, wait a minute. You put this dude who's unknown in your top five?
Without a doubt.
I'm just saying. That's a bold statement, right? That's a very bold statement.
Very bold.
I have not heard one bar from this man. And you put him in your top five? Now I want to listen to this guy.
Put you on.
Word.
We're going to have a Moet. We're going to listen to Fonte. All right?
Let's do it.
Yo, let me see. Damn, number five, bro. Wow, that's a tough slot to fill, man. If I put Big in there. You know what I'm saying? Of course, man.
Big, I'm about to say, how you put Fonte and not Big, bro? Like, what are we doing here?
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? I put the brother in there. I put him in there. Slide him in there. Honorable mention.
I ain't mad at that.
Yeah, man. All right, so I got another question for you, man.
Mm-hmm.
So... Alright, we love hip hop, bro. You know what I'm saying? It's music, Sync Music Mondays. Who are your top three hip hop groups?
Groups. Oof. Wu-Tang.
Yes.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Damn, groups. Definitely the Wu. Mm-hmm. Definitely the Lox. Mm-hmm. Top three. Damn,
y'all. Gotta make it count, man. Gotta make it count, bro.
Top three groups. This is a hard one, man.
Yeah.
Groups. Damn. Who's the third one? Who can I put in that third slot?
I mean, I see you got Outkast. You know what I'm saying? You got who else is out there?
It's a lot to pick from.
It's a lot of groups. Wu-Tang,
Lox.
If you going Queens, Mobb Deep.
Mobb Deep.
You got MOB. Yeah, you got MOBB. They definitely one of my top, I want to say top three. Like, when you say top three, I want, like, bangers. You know what I'm saying? And Wu and Wu is undeniable, like probably the greatest group ever known to mankind.
Yeah, it's non-negotiable.
And the Lox is just three powerful lyricists. Mm-hmm. I can't put Mobb Deep in my top three. God bless Prodigy, but I can't.
Yeah.
I can't even put Outkast in my top three. Mm-hmm. And I love Outkast. Damn, you about to have me look at my phone right now. Like
technology.
Let me go to title real quick. Like, you said top three groups. Let me see,
That's tough, man. Yeah, because you know what? Like I love bars. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, but cultural impact too, right? Like, ain't nobody touching the Wu. Like,
nobody's touching the Wu.
They got so many weapons and their artillery, you know what I'm saying? Like, the cultural impact was crazy. The Lox too, man. Like, they, you know, they solidified, so... But the third one, I don't know.
I don't know, yo. I can't name a third group right now that's just like coming off the top. That's why I had to go on my phone just to see what I got going on.
Yeah,
But I can't really say like who's like from a hip hop rap perspective, who will be my top three. Right now, just out of default, I would probably just have to go with Outkast. But I know there's a group and I can't even freaking think of the name right now.
Right.
Of who I'm thinking about, but I would probably just say, you know what? Let's put Outkast
in that slot.
Yeah, but see, I can't really do that because I don't be banging Outkast music like that. You see what I'm saying? So like, I'm just doing
just
that off of GP.
Just
off of cultural influence and everything like that.
Yeah.
But like, I can't really like for me, my top three. I'm trying. That's why I'm going through like my Apple playlist right now. Like, yo, who's those groups that I really listen to like that? And it's not many.
Yeah, it's hard, man.
It's hard.
It's hard, man.
But I'll definitely, like I said, Wu-Tang, Lox for sure. Mm-hmm. Shit, G-Unit was like hot too.
They had a fire.
You know, they had a fire. But again, I can't put them top three.
Yeah, no.
You know, Mobb, I can't put them top three. Like, that's like, when you next to the Lox and you listen next to the Wu-Tang.
You got to be a certain caliber.
Yeah, like, it's just different. I mean, you got so many groups out there, NWA, Public Enemy, if you want to take it, like, to things like that. Like, these were all Tribe Called Quest.
Oh, like,
you know what? Tribe Called Quest. Queens get the money, yo. Tribe Called Quest.
Yes.
Yeah, now I got a different question for you since we're talking about hip-hop. This is a little different, but who are, not necessarily your top, but who are your favorite five business minds when it comes to hip-hop?
Good question. My favorite five business minds, definitely Jay, 100% Hove. Business minds, believe it or not, Dame Dash. Dame Dash is one of the most smart, one of the most intelligent people that I've had the privilege of talking to and being in the room with him. I'll tell y'all a quick story. We was in Beverly Hills and we was at his crib, me, Rashad, Troy, and we was with this guy for 5 hours, bro. He gave us a masterclass. He smoked 35 blunts, yo. Like, because he smokes joints and shit, right? Like, I've never seen anything like this before in my life. The man was smoking, and I'm a smoker, bro. And I was high off the contact, and he smoked so much weed. But he gave up, and it was like, we were there for 5 hours, bro. Non-stop game. Non-stop game. So I got to put Dame is just at, Dame was ahead of his time. You know, people just, his delivery and everything like that, sometimes, you know, you can question it, but you can't, his genius, you can't deny it, right? So Jay, Dame, Steve Stout is a brilliant mind in the industry, you know what I'm saying? So like, you know, even though he's not an artist or anything like that, you can't deny what Steve Stout has done, in the industry and bridging the gap in the culture and corporate. Puff, you can't discount Puff. Puff is just a different type of animal when it comes to business. And then I'm gonna go with Ross. You know, Rick Ross is definitely one of the dopest business people. You know, just even being in rooms with him and just listening to how he talks and like what his mindset, right? Like, he's different, man. So that would probably be, if I had to put like a starting five, of hip hop moguls and business and stuff like that, that would probably be my starting five for business. And there's a lot of great guys out there. I mean, look, you got the Envies of the world who are dope, great businessmen, you know, from transitioning from DJing to multiple streams of income, and also to keep himself relevant for this, for decades. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just different. And just me knowing him, and I speak to him all the time, like, dude is different, right? So you got a lot of great people out there and that come from the culture. Look at T.I. is a brilliant businessman as well. So there's a lot of dope. You know, what I love about seeing, like, you know, we're all in that same age group. You know, we listened to and grew up in the 90s when all these guys really came out. And if you look at how everyone has transitioned into real grown men.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? And grown men, businessmen, and how they just changed the game. And they changed the trajectory for all of us, right? Because they really, our lifestyle, they, like, we're living their raps.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? And we have all, one way or another, have modeled our life behind what we've listened to over these years. And these dudes have really just set the trend of, you know, the blueprint of what we do in just in life right now, how we walk, how we dress, how we talk, our confidence, our swag. Like, it's like the what you call this thing? It's like the soundtrack you know, to our lives. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, shout out to everybody in the industry who came from nothing and made something.
I had to ask you, so two more things, man. I love mantras. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love mantras. I live by mantras, you know, persistence, wear down, resistance, you know, all these things. What's your mantra, bro? Like, what is your mantra that keeps you going?
I'm alive and blessed. I'm alive and blessed. I say that every morning. I answer my phone. You ask me how I'm doing, I tell you I'm alive and blessed. That's my mantra right there, because every day above ground is a great day, and I can deal with anything else that comes with it. So for me, I just look at, you know, you have COVID-19, you got monkeypox, you got murderers, you got the goons, you got the cops, you got everything that's setting you up for failure, you know what I'm saying? And if you can just navigate through that in life, you can be very happy, you can be very successful, but you have to be alive, you know, to achieve any of that. So that would probably be, like, one of my mantras. I like the persistence beats resistance. But another thing I would say is another good mantra of mine is closed mouth don't get fed. You know, I had to learn that the hard way in life. You know, there was many years in my life I was very passive about certain things. I would keep certain things in, like, and just not really going after shit. You know what I'm saying? And even though you might think it, but you never, like, articulate it or express it or put it out there into the universe, because you just have all your own self-doubt. So now for me, it's like, yo, closed mouth don't get fed. I don't really care what it is. Like, the worst you can tell me is no. So, like, and if you tell me no, my job is to say, how can I get you to tell me yes? So, like, closed mouth doesn't get fed. So, like, those will be, like my top two things, like my two top mantras that I try to live my life by, is just, you know, go for it, you know?
Fire, man.
Now, you just said something that just made me think about something. The pandemic pretty much had an effect on, you know, all of us. But for you specifically, like, how has it affected you, your business, and your perspective, like, on the housing market?
So the pandemic, a.k.a. the plandemic, a.k.a. the bandemic. So, like, look, so, you know, the COVID-19, I mean, I think it shook up the world, right? A lot of people died. You know, God bless everybody who lost. I know people who died because of COVID. So I don't want to make light of that situation. But it was an opportunity, and it still is an opportunity for you to, if that didn't wake you the hell up to say, all right, life is so short and precious. And again, I'm alive and blessed, right? You can literally go outside, breathe, and get sick and die. Like, that's scary, bro. Like, I don't care what nobody say. That is some scary ish. And for me, that changed my whole mindset of how I gotta live my life, how I'm approaching my daily activities, because it's not promised. as far as the housing market is concerned, I told everybody what was going to happen. I said, once they shut everything down, I said, I know the government was going to come in and start spending all this money to keep things going. And when the rates drop, I told everybody, I was very vocal, like, yo, you better go out there and get this cheap money because it ain't going to last. And there's going to be so many people out here now going to go buy. Shit is going to go crazy. And it went crazy. And it's kind of the same thing I'm telling people right now. Look, money's going to get expensive right now, which is good. It's going to take a lot of people out of the mix. So now this is going to be another opportunity, right? So real estate is cynical, man. And I don't think people understand the cycles of real estate, right? Nothing lasts forever, first and foremost. And you have to attack and know how to attack in any type of cycle that's happening. So rates are dirt cheap. Home prices are skyrocketing. You have to learn how to think like an investor and buy like an investor, buy undervalued properties. You got to learn construction. You got to learn how to finance those type of deals, right? There's still opportunities out there, but if you being emotional, you ain't going to look past your emotions to go seek that information to learn how to do it and go out there and execute, but you can still find deals. Now, we're in a reverse cycle. There's a deceleration because of inflation right now, and the feds are trying to slow things up. That's great. It's an opportunity of a lifetime still, because now you're going to have less competition. So you can go out there and still get good cash flowing assets, because what happened during the pandemic, it raised everything, including rent. So if you in that landlord space, you're going to win. Landlords always win, because there's only two or three things you can do when it comes to housing. There are four things, right? You can either own, you can rent, you can go live with somebody, or you can be homeless. Pick your poison. You know what I'm saying? Like pick your poison, for real. So which one of the four do you want to be? You don't want to be homeless. And you damn sure don't want to live with nobody, unless you really absolutely have to. So you're going to either own or you're going to rent. So either which way, you know, when it comes to real estate, you can't lose. You can't lose. Even if you're buying your primary residence, who cares? Like, you can't lose, because now you're able to create studios in your house. Now you can tax deduct this thing, right? Now you can set these things up where you can monetize. Now that monetization can help pay for your mortgage, right? It's all on how you look at these things. So the pandemic and COVID-19, that time taught me, like, yo, you got to think outside the box. You got to have multiple streams of income, because your job ain't promised. They shut down America. Companies go out of business. If you depended on that one income, you were SOL. So you have to start thinking, like, yo, how can I make more money? How can I? And then making more money is not getting two jobs. Fact. I don't know nobody who got two jobs is rich. Think about it. Fact. Anybody you know growing up working two jobs were rich?
No. They talking about their mama worked three jobs and they still broke.
And they still broke trying to make it. And they still living paycheck to paycheck. Yeah. So that doesn't make you rich. That doesn't make you financially free. That doesn't make you comfortable. That's just you trading your time for money. So what you have to learn how to do is, how do you make the money work for you? How do you make your mind work for you? Your intellectual property. So monetization, multiple streams of income. And in this day and age, this is the easiest time in the world to be out here to create and make money. So the pandemic, you know, they call them pandemic millionaires, right? Like, it showed you so many people made millions of dollars in this time, including myself, right? During this time is because we were able to figure it out. And now those opportunities are still here. They didn't go away because of the pandemic. They're still here. And I think it's only going to get better for those who have the mindset to say, yo, let me go out here and create. Let me spend. If I got to work my 9 to 5, what am I doing with the other 8 hours? Am I spending time with my family, my kids, this, that, and the third? But I got 3 to 4 hours. All right, let me put some shit down where it can monetize for me. So, you know, the pandemic was a gift and a curse for a lot of people.
Now, it's a lot of artists and music producers, all different types of people that watch this show related to music. And they, let's say hypothetically, they get a placement on a very popular TV show and they get a bag. Let's say 100K. They use that money, pay off their student loans, whatever bills they have. And let's say they have 20K, 20 to 30K left. Like, what advice would you give them to, like, do with that money?
First of all, if you get 100K, make sure you tax plan it. First things first. So you got a tax plan, number one. Number two, I would say educate yourself before you spend any money. You know, no matter what, whether you want to buy stocks, crypto, options, real estate, open up a new business, educate yourself. So you probably want to take some of that money to, because free game is good. You know, Google, YouTube, University, that's good, but you gotta get inside of certain type of communities and pay for other people's mistakes, right? So I would say invest into some sort of mentorship programs, courses, and things of that nature. Make sure you're doing your due diligence on that, because you don't want to get scammed, because there's a lot of BS out there. So you gotta be careful. So I would say invest into your knowledge, right? And then from there, execute. Right. So no matter if you have 20,000, 50,000, I can't tell you what to go invest in, because I don't know what your risk tolerance is. Number one, I'm a real estate guy, so I'm always tell you, look, you can't go wrong with brick and mortar, because no matter if the market's up or down, it goes left or right, you can go still touch a property. Right. You know what I'm saying? My shit ain't going to disappear unless it, God forbid, burns on fire. Then even then, I got insurance money to rebuild it. Right. So for me, I'm a brick and mortar guy. Stocks is cheap right now. Companies are on sale. So this is when you're buying at the dip. You buy, so that way when it goes back up in 2 years, you make money that way too. So there's numerous things you can invest in, but those would be the first things I would tell anybody is tax plan, educate yourself, and then from there, just go out there and execute. And don't spend too much time learning. I think that's another mistake people make. They spend so much time reading books, taking courses, YouTube, University, and they never go out there and actually execute on whatever it is that they're trying to do. So you can't have analysis paralysis. You got to go out there and make things happen.
Bars, man. Bars. Fire, man. Yo, that was fire. And speaking of some fire, too, yo, we got to talk about this, too. Plug this. Yes. House High Economics, yes. The book is fire, man. What motivated you to do the book, man?
Money, nigga. Nah, that's part of the reason, right? But look, multiple streams of income, right? One source of income is too close to being broke. I am an educator. I am a professor, right? Like, that's just what I do. So for me, people learn from multiple different ways. People learn from reading. Some people are readers. Some people don't want to take courses. Some people would rather hold something tangible in their hand to be able to say and make their notes and read. Like, people are readers. So I said to myself, I've been putting out courses. I put out videos. I now have the podcast. I have all this stuff. Like, what else can I add to my arsenal, right? What other products? Master P taught us product outlives and outlives talent. So I gotta have things that can be on people's shelves. Books are on people's shelves. So like all of these things is what motivated me to put out House Economics. I actually got 3 more books coming out on Black Friday, and I got 25 book titles. Like, I'm dropping books like Wayne dropped mixtapes. Like, seriously, because I'm looking at it as, like, look, if you want to learn about real estate, I'm a licensed professional. I've been doing this for 20 years. I own property. Like, I help thousands of people. So why not learn from me? And that's just my mind frame about this thing. So no matter how you want to learn, whether it's podcasts, whether it's books, it's digital courses, it's just you want clips on social, whatever you want. Look, I want to be the main source of information. I want to be your mortgage for dummies. Like, I want to be that person. When people think real estate, you think MG the mortgage guy. Like, you see people, they know Rocket Mortgage, right? That's a company. When you think of people, oh, Rocket Mortgage, could they spend hundreds and millions of dollars on branding and marketing? Well, I want people to know me like that, but I'm not spending that type of money. I just want to be able to have the product out there to teach people so they can go out there and execute at a high level in real estate. So that's, you know, the main reasons why I put out House Economics. And then look, the cherry on top of it is I get another stream of income. Facts. And it's affordable. Facts. Right? Facts. Somebody pay you $30, $40 for a book. you can't get you don't lose, because this information is priceless, and it's a low ticket item. Now when I'm at events and things of that nature, I've done so many shows and things like, and people are like, yo, why don't you have merch? Why don't you have merch? Why don't you have t-shirts? Why don't I'm like, yo, I really don't want to do that. And we tried it. We, you know, Tony's put things and stuff like that. I actually trademarked collaborations greater than competition. We was going to put on hats and everything like that, but I never felt it. It didn't really motivate me to really, like, go out here and sell merch. So I'm like, I'd rather wear my people's merch. Like, you know what? I'd rather be a brand ambassador. You guys are making merch and doing stuff. Like, I'll just wear your stuff. Give me a discount or give me some free stuff, and I'll just wear that. Cool. But I was trying to figure out, what can I put out? Books. That's my merch now. So now I have my bookstore, and I'm going to have 25 titles probably in the next 18 months of books where people, no matter what stage you're on, I'm going to have children books for real estate. I'm going to have all types of books that no matter where you are, you can, you in your stage of real estate, you can learn from me. Fine. You know what I'm saying? So books, baby. I'm hooked.
Books.
Up on
the books.
Bro, I go to my events now. They be like, yo, you bringing books? You're damn right. I got my little square. You want to tap it or swipe, ma? What you want to do here? Get the book. Get the book. I'll sign it for you, too. So now I'm like, I forgot how to write. Yo, we spent so much time typing and texting and everything like that. Like, when's the last time you wrote something?
Yo, that's a fact. Now, I don't write that.
Exactly, my point.
I write my raps, bro.
No, you type them.
No, you freestyle them. Oh, bro.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, when the last time you wrote something, bro?
Signed a check. That's it.
Exactly my point. So, like, I realized now that I have books and I have the autograph, I'm like, damn, I don't even know how to write no more. Like, that's crazy. Like something we used to do all of, you have to write papers and all this other shit back in the day.
What is that, typewriters? And
yeah, but you used to, like, oh, damn, I gotta write 100-page paper. Like, fuck. Now I'm like, damn, my penmanship used to be nice. Now my joint is so sloppy. Yeah, my joint is terrible. I'm like, yo.
I'm lazy with that.
Yeah, I'm like, you're like, and I'm like, yo, I didn't
what did I say?
Yo, I forgot how to write. Like, this is the craziest thing. Like, yeah. But, you know, I don't even know why I went there. But that, this book shit has just opened up new things to me. Like, damn, I'm discovering new stuff about myself. But shout out to the book, man. I'm about to take over the book market.
That's it.
Yeah, man.
Make sure y'all cop the book.
Got the book, man. Go to
Academics, man. Y'all know what it is.
Yeah,
man.
Go to mgbookstore.com.
Mgbookstore.com, man. Well, yo, this has been fire. Because, I mean, so many gems, man. You know, just shout out to you, man. It's all love. You know what
Word.
I'm saying?
Word. Thank y'all for having me.
Of course, man. Of course, man. So, I mean, what's on the horizon, man? I know you got mad stuff going on. Books coming out. What's next, man?
Oh, man. We got so much things. When is this coming out?
We're going to drop this ASAP, man.
So we got InvestFest Euro coming up Halloween weekend in London. We have Market Mondays at Madison Square Garden, Black Friday weekend. We have our Home Buying Expo in D.C. December 10th, weekend of December 10th. We have Art Basel first week of December in Miami. And so that's kind of like closing out the year with the events that we have.
But, and who's going to be at the InvestFest in Europe, man? I mean, y'all got a
We got our usual suspects, man. We got Ian, the master investor, you know, obviously EYL. We have 19 Keys will be there. We have my guy Beyond Wynn is going to be out there. Patricia Bright, who's a UK London influencer. She's major over there. And we got a couple other folks, you know, our team that's going to be out there. Trapper, Wall Street Trapper is going to be out there with us too. So, you know, we coming out there, man, and we're trying to educate our people globally. So, you know, we got a lot of global events coming up in 2023 and along with, you know, next year, I think is probably going to be our busiest year. We might be having something like every 2 to 3 weeks that we're doing. You know, we might fucking around have like probably like 20 something events
crazy
next year that we are curating. So it's a lot happening, it's a lot going on, and yeah, that's pretty much it that I'm doing. I mean, obviously, you know, if you need help with loans, we can help you get your financing for real estate projects. And yeah, just looking to just continue to grow, bro. Like that's it. Just looking to grow, looking to scale, and help as many people as possible achieve their goals.
Nice. I love it. That's what I'm talking about. We appreciate you again for taking out the time, you know, spreading the knowledge, spreading the love. We appreciate you and we salute you. Keep doing what you're doing. And yeah, that's a wrap.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate the love.
We don't make moves, we make movements.
We don't make moves, we make movements. I'm going to tweet that. I appreciate that.